Well, good morning, Hillcrest. How are we doing this morning? It is a good day, as it always is, but we are in an interesting series that we've called The Journey. And as we're kind of closing the door on the 73rd year at Hillcrest, we have been looking at the journey that the church has been on, but we're also looking at the journey that each one of us are on in our own spiritual journeys, because it's unique for each one of us. Each journey that we take in life, you know, there's certainly the symbolic journeys, but in very practical senses, if you've ever gone on a journey somewhere, maybe you've done some kind of road trip, or maybe you're on your way out to the Black Hills or somewhere in Minnesota, maybe going all the way across the country. One of the things that I love about America is the roadside attractions. Okay, now these are things that you would stop and see along the way and marvel at, either who came up with the idea, and then you think someone actually paid for, created, and installed this object, whatever it may be. Now, here in Sioux Falls, we have plenty of roadside attractions. We've got things like the Statue of David. We've got things like that cow out at the Lando Lakes. You know, there's that cow out there. Or Mr. Bendo, who has now moved to Minnesota in 33rd. It was very sad when I saw he was gone from his original location, but very happy when I found he just walked a little ways. So it wasn't a big deal for him, but he is still around. But there might be some roadside attractions in our state that you are not aware of, or maybe you've not taken the time to take a look at them. The first one would be the largest prairie dog in the world out in Cactus Flats. And this prairie dog, if you're heading out 90 and you're heading towards the Black Hills, you go right by this sucker. There's plenty of, prairie dogs out in the fields around it as you're coming up. But this prairie dog is made completely out of concrete. And it weighs 6 tons. It was made back in 1959 and is still standing. This isn't where it currently is. It isn't its original location, but it's always been owned by the ranch store. But back in 1971, the ranch store moved 23 miles from its original location to where it currently is, close to the interstate. So you don't want to miss the 6-ton prairie dog in Cactus Flats. A rather new roadside attraction here in South Dakota you'll find in Chamberlain, and it is a 50-foot tall Native American woman. She is made of steel, and she cost a mere $1 million, and she weighs, you're not supposed to tell what a woman weighs, but it's impressive, 50 tons. The title of this sculpture is called Dignity, and it represents the pride, strength, and durability of the Native cultures here in South Dakota. If you go to Huron, you're going to find the world's largest what? That's right, the world's largest pheasant. It stands 28 feet high, 40 feet long, weighs in at 22 tons. And it's on top of the Dakota Inn and has been there since 1959. So, yeah, that pheasant has been there a while. And the reason why the pheasant was built is apparently in Huron, and I didn't know this until I was kind of doing some research for this. Apparently, there is a giant pheasant legend in the Huron area, and a lot has been written about it, and a lot of people have seen this giant pheasant. I say, yep, on top of the Dakota Inn. Another new one, this one just this summer, up in Mulbridge, because that's a vacationing spot for a lot of people. Go up to Mulbridge, and you will find the Walleye Up. Yes, it is a cowboy riding a giant walleye. This was unveiled in July this summer, and this walleye is made, or the whole sculpture is made completely out of recycled farm and machinery parts. So definitely something interesting to take a look at. Last one I want to show you, just to wreck your breakfast if you haven't had it or make your stomach sour maybe, is the world's largest hairball in Webster, South Dakota. This is located inside the Museum of Wildlife Science and Industry. Anyone been to that museum? Oh my goodness. So you have missed out on the largest hairball in the world. When it came out of the cow, it weighed 55 pounds. Since then, it has dried out and now weighs only a measly 22 pounds. But all hair found inside a cow's stomach. So Yum. Now, during this series, we're looking at the journey we've been on. And today I want to look at some roadside attractions here at Hillcrest. Now, when we started this series, we talked about where we have come from, and we talked about how Hillcrest got started and how the whole focus of those original people back in 1945 was to have a powerful testimony of Christ to this community and to be able to communicate the hope that can be had in Jesus Christ and how that has continued on in this group ever since. And we talked about some of the journeys and the trials and the struggles and even the suffering that they went through, but how God brought them through those things and how their faith and dedication and hard work helped bring them through that as well. Last week, we celebrated my 20th year here at Hillcrest, and that is a huge milestone for Hillcrest as well as for me. It was a day I will never forget. Thank you so much, all of you that came and were a part of it. All of you that were a part of planning, the creativity involved in that. Special thanks to Aaron for being the one to kind of kick this thing off. If you would have asked me, would you like us to do this? I'd have said, no way. But I am so glad you did because it was a wonderful, wonderful day for me. But I think it also is one of those things where we can, you know, remember also those kind of tour guides along the way, those people that God has brought here in various leadership roles, pastoral roles, to help us along the way in just claiming and continuing on in this vision that God has set for us as a community of believers. But this week, it's about roadside attractions, those things that have happened here at Hillcrest that are worth noting and taking a look at and pausing and remembering a few things. Now, I realize that as we do this today, it's going to sound a little bit like we're bragging, all right? But if you've been here at Hillcrest long enough, you know that's just not how we roll. It's not what we do. But at the same point, there are some things that God has called us to do, and he has called us to love our community. And so anytime you're trying to evaluate how you're doing at something, you want to ask the question, so are we loving our community? So what I want to lay out for you today is some evidence that we have been doing that or ways that we have been doing that. So it's not to pump ourselves up, but at some point it is also a bit of a pat on the back for all of us to say we have been doing well. Doesn't mean we're done. Doesn't mean we're just going to revel in the past and not have vision for the future. But we do want to celebrate some of the things that God has been doing in and through the ministries here at Hillcrest, in and through you individually within our community here in Sioux Falls and around the world even. So I want to kind of walk through a few things. And, you know, the list is endless that I could have picked from. So I picked some things that I thought were some milestones or some highlight points that we could remember a little bit. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back 45 years because we talked about a lot of those older things in that first message. So I'm going to just start from about 2006, okay, about 12 years back, about some things that God has been up to and God has been doing here in Hillcrest. Back in May 2nd of 2006, it was a big moment for Hillcrest because it was a time that we voted as a church to allow women to serve in leadership roles within Hillcrest. And every church has a different view on this and a different perspective. But the leadership had studied for over 2 years to come up with an understanding of what the Bible taught about this. And though we admitted even at the time that we can see where there is some ambiguity and why one church might land one way and another land another way, we looked at the scriptures and said, you know, the example set this with the Old Testament, the teachings of Jesus and the way that he interacted with women, and as well as the teachings of Paul, we saw this opening the door for women in ministry roles and ministry positions. And so that was a big day for us as we came to this understanding and having that affirmed within our church. And just 7 months later after that, December 3rd, 2006, our first two women elders were affirmed by the church. And that was Sherry Goosey and Vicki Tigner. And those were great moments for us. Fast forward about a year, September 30th, 2007, we had what was called the Big Reveal. Now, if you were around back then, that was a pretty exciting Sunday, as what we had done is months prior, we had been looking at this idea of us as a church and saying, if God were in complete control of us, if Jesus was here in our midst, what might he be doing in the community of Sioux Falls? And that question kind of advanced a little further, and we said, okay, if Hillcrest just like disappeared one week, and then all of a sudden 4301 East 26th Street was a vacant lot, would anyone in this community miss Hillcrest? And aside from those of us who were attending, looking for a place to go on Sunday morning, we said, you know what, the people that aren't connected, like attending Hillcrest, they might not even notice that we were gone. They might say, oh, wasn't there something there? But bigger than that, it's not like our ministries were making a big enough impact on them personally or within their organizations that we would have been missed. And that was a tough pill to swallow for us. And so we asked the congregation, what do you think God is up to in our community? What is he up to with you? What is he up to with us as a church? And people started to submit things. And I mean, we had stacks of ideas, and we started to put them in different piles, and we saw certain themes start to develop along the way. And with those themes, we created what we called at the time scorecards, and we still call them that today. Most churches, when they want to know if they're successful, they're counting, they're looking for two things. You know what they are? Attendance, yeah, or like, as I like to say, butts in the seat, and bucks in the plate, yeah. And as long as the giving is a certain way and there's enough people attending, they say, we're successful. And we said, you know, that's just not what Hillcrest is. We don't want to focus on money coming in, and we do not want to focus on trying to create a ministry that just draws people in for the sake of just attending. But we wanted to be a place that if Jesus were in our shoes, that he would say, well done, good and faithful servant. That he would say, what you're doing is good for the community. Which means that's not really a church growth model. But what it does is it really focuses our attention as a church on the things that I think God really wants us to do and the things that he commands us to do in Scripture. And so what we started to do is we started to put some initiatives together and we started posting them up on the walls. And so our scorecards have kind of become these things that are on the walls. And you think back to those days. Since then, one of them was children. One of them was with children, was adoption. And we have been able to help, financially help, 18 children be adopted. 16 families become foster care families. You look over at the backpacks. Each year we take an offering for backpacks. We had 65 backpacks that were sponsored this last year. But that's 740 backpacks total since we started this back in those days. And when you start to look at what God did through that reveal where we came, we said, look, our focus is going to be the community and our development as followers of Jesus Christ, but for the purpose of loving the world, not for the purpose of ourselves and our potlucks, but for the purpose of loving the world around us. And it radically changed who we were at that moment and how we started to look at the world around us and our community. We started ministry with Cleveland Elementary School. I think back in those days with Cleveland, and Pastor Brian, he has literally written the book on this. And to think of when we went over there, and I remember, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, and our leadership were talking about, we said, we've got to do like a big ask. Like, what's something really big that you need? And so we went over to ask, having no idea what it was, and what they needed were two computer labs that cost $60,000. And it's like, okay, we asked for something big and they actually gave it to us. And can we do this? And sure enough, the church came together and said, this is something we can do. And what a day of celebration that was. I mean, even as the district made a movie of the thing because it was so impactful for the community and for the district. And since then, how many other churches have come along to start partnering with other schools and doing things like this? It continues on. So God has been with us in all of that. June 17, 2008 was an insane day around Hillcrest here. Because we had a piece of land out on Highway 11. If you know where Frankman Motors is, right adjacent with our property on the north side, we had 66 acres with the purpose of, you know, abandoning this building, selling it to somebody else, and going and building something else out there. And we were convinced that God was not done with us at 4301 East 26th Street, that there were people in this community right here that we had not done what Jesus would have done if he were here in this place. And we said, we're staying. And in order to stay, we're going to sell that piece of property. And then the question came up, okay, we're going to sell it. What are we going to do with the proceeds? And, you know, your bent is to say, well, let's just put it in an account and then we'll just live off the interest. You know, no one will ever have to give and we can just become this stagnant, dead group, you know. Well, we knew that was the potential with all that, and we also knew, we asked the question as we kept asking, what would Jesus do if he had the proceeds from that? And we just couldn't fathom some kind of money market account. It just didn't seem Jesus-y to us. And the decision was made to literally, on that date, we decided to give it away, June 17th. And to find ways and places that were in need and to be able to give those funds to that. As a result of the adoptions that we were doing at the time, and it had been unheard of that churches were partnering with people in their congregation that wanted to adopt but couldn't financially afford it, and then writing the checks for those adoptions, we were given an award that's just, given out to one group in the year. And Tim Johnson came to Hillcrest on, Senator Tim Johnson came on October 18, 2008 to present us with the Angel of Adoption Award, which was a really cool thing. And then Pastor Brian and Pastor Tarina got to go to Washington, D.C. to officially receive that award. What a cool event and cool story for us as we got to, again, share the vision of God's call for the church to care for orphans, to care for those that don't have that home, and to be able to celebrate what God was doing in our midst. May 3rd, 2009, we did what was called the Big Give or the Jubilee. May 3rd, 2009, if you would have come to church on that Sunday, I would have given a riveting message like always. And at the end, I challenged everyone that was here, like, if you really want to do something kingdom-wise, you really want to make an impact, we've got a challenge for you. And we had a bowl up here with 200 envelopes in it. And I said, if you feel called to make a difference in this community and to be obedient to whatever is inside this envelope, at the close of the service, come up and get one, sit back down in your seat and don't open it. And we're going to open them all together. And people were apprehensive, but they did. They came up and they got an envelope, and 200 envelopes went out. People were sitting in their seats. And as they opened up the envelope, inside of each and every envelope were five $100 bills. So we literally, with our congregation, gave out $100,000 on that Sunday morning. And we said, go love people with this and tell us what you did. And if you need it for yourself, keep it for yourself. And people pulled together and they bought cars for single moms. People pulled it together and bought cancer treatments for people and helped pay medical bills. It was crazy the things that people did. That was an amazing day here at Hillcrest, and things that, I don't hear a lot that people are doing, but we had this incredible gift in what was sold, and we were trying to multiply that as best we could with our community here in Sioux Falls and loving people as best we could the way that God was calling us to do it. The next year, August 16th, 2010, we started the Powerhouse Tutoring Center. And we partnered with the first church we'd done partnership with, really, at that point, and that was Wesley United Methodist Church. And that was a great ministry for us. We learned a lot through that and also partnering with another church. 2016, Brianna Letha was sent to the mission field in Germany. 2018, Tarina Stroh licensed our first female pastor here at Hillcrest. Over the years, we've helped with all kinds of things. We've helped with earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricane relief and various types of refugee issues that we've been able to be a part of. We have gone out and done ministry very physically in places like various South Dakota reservations, out in Detroit, Chicago, South Sudan, South Africa, Honduras, and still going there again this year. We have been a part of looking at our facility and saying, how can this facility bless the community? Because it's filled up on Sunday with us, it's filled up on Wednesday nights with us, but what about the rest of the week? Because it just sits dormant around here. And we opened up the facility for after-school programs and the YMCA. In fact, you may not know this, but the YMCA, they got kids out there on a Thursday night and thunder comes, and they literally ship them all here, and they hang out here for the night. We're one of those spots for them. But also we look at the afternoon on Sunday when it's kind of quiet around here. And we open up this church to immigrant congregations who need a place to worship but aren't able to afford a building or rent a building. And we just open the doors for them and let them worship here. We've done that over many, many years with many different groups and still are today. You come on a Sunday afternoon and we've got another group that's meeting here now, an African group. And it's our hope that it can be a ministry to them. We've opened up the church and helped other ministries start and begin. I can remember back many years ago now that a new deaf church was starting called Signs of Grace. And we helped them, and Dave Hoffman, their pastor, we even licensed him as a pastor so that he could serve that group in a pastoral capacity. And God has used Hillcrest to multiply in that way as well. And as of today, just in the last 12 years, I'm not going back further than that, the last 12 years, Hillcrest has given away $1.2 million. And that, folks, is huge. I mean, if you just put that into perspective of general numbers, that means we're giving away $100,000 a year to other ministries. That's $8,333 each and every month, or about $2,000 every week. This year, Easter 2018, we had, as it shows on one of our scorecards here, 104 children sponsored through Adams Thermal Foundation and the work that they're doing with education over in Ethiopia. And that Sunday was a Sunday of great transformation in my own life. I know it was for many others as well, but for me personally, that was a day of transformation within me. God tells us to help the poor, to help the needy, and to help the hurting in our world. And the things that I have just shared with you is a small list, but of that list, I don't share them, as I said, to brag. But they are evidence that Hillcrest is doing well in this command to love others and to help those that are poor and at risk. Hillcrest is filled with individuals that I would say are doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. It is difficult, I know, to be a part of Hillcrest. It's difficult to be a part of Hillcrest if your desire is just to come each Sunday and have the Sunday experience. It doesn't take long before you start to feel like, man, I don't feel like I'm doing my part if I'm not joining in on some of these things because of the focus and the direction of what we're up to here at Hillcrest. And I don't apologize for that. I wish it sometimes was easier for people, but like I said before, this is not a church growth model. Because those that are here and those that are committed to the ministry here are actively making a difference and doing things as if in the way that Jesus would do them if he was here with our resources and our time and what we are doing. Because Hillcrest is a place that challenges you to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in our community. Not only in our community, but in every area of your own personal life. And the things that we're talking about today that God has been doing in our midst is proof and evidence of that obedience of our people. The Bible has a lot to say about loving others and helping those that are in need. And these are the things that here at Hillcrest we hold very close to our hearts and use as our roadmap. If you want to know what is our roadmap, we open it up. What is the direction that we're going? These scriptures are our guide. Proverbs 19:17 says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Now, I'm not saying that's a monetary thing, but God has repaid us over and over again, tenfold whatever we have ever given to someone else. 1 John 3:17 and 18, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister in need but shows no compassion, remember we talked about compassion, that to be compassionate is not just to know about it, but it's action. It's doing something about the hurt or the suffering of someone else. So if you see a brother or sister in need, but show no compassion, don't do anything about it, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, but let's show it. Let's show that truth by our actions. Isaiah 58:10 says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then, once you do that, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon. Acts 20:35 says, and I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Ministry is not always easy, and many times it is difficult, and the rewards don't seem to be immediate. But it is more blessed to give of ourselves than just to receive. And there is hard work that goes into it. And this is a congregation that time and time again, I see the hard work that you put forward. Matthew 25:45. I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. You say, what would Jesus do if he were in our place? That he would love others. And he says, love others the way that you want to be loved. And Jesus lives that out by even telling us that when we're helping someone else, it's as if we're helping him. So not only is he motivating us to do something, but he's saying our motivation should be as we serve other people, realize that as we serve them, it's like we're serving Jesus himself. And that really changes your focus. That changes the amount of commitment that you have to something or what you're willing to sacrifice in your life for the sake of helping another person. And with these commands at the forefront of our ministry, I laid a challenge out to you back on April 1st, which happened to be Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, on that particular Sunday, that Sunday will go down in my own life, much like last Sunday, as a time that I'll always remember. Easter Sunday, April 1st, changed me, permanently changed me. I can even remember during that service being changed, and I knew it was happening to me. But about 8 months prior, or 8 months ago, Pastor Brian and I were in Ethiopia. Now, how we got there is kind of an interesting story because Adams Thermal Foundation had been inviting us to go to Ethiopia for quite a while, and I didn't want to go. The reason why I didn't want to go is it was Ethiopia. And I didn't want to go to Ethiopia. I've been to Africa, did the Africa thing. That plane ride is, it's as closest, if that was hell, that's enough to get you to accept Jesus right there. It's horrific to fly that long and sit and sweat and have, you know, that person that you pick, the one person you don't want to sit next to, that's the one you're sitting next to. I just didn't want to go. And if I said yes to all the different ministries that asked me to do this or that or go on this trip and that trip, I couldn't even do my ministries around here, let alone have time with my family. And so I knew what Adams Thermal was doing. They had a school in Africa, and kids were going to it, and they are sponsoring kids. I mean, this isn't rocket science, not that difficult. So I just resisted going to Ethiopia. And then something started to stir in me that I didn't like, and that was a desire to see what was going on there, but I didn't understand why that desire was growing in me. So much so that I sat down with Brian months before and said, I think we should go together on this thing, which is unusual for me too. Usually Brian goes or I go so that somebody, you know, can hold down the fort around here or be here in an emergency kind of a situation. But I felt convicted we both needed to go. And so when we told Adams Thermal, I mean, they made it as seamless as they possibly could, took care of every possible detail. Maybe they could sense my reluctance, but they took care of every detail. And in January, we took off for Ethiopia, and I still, in my own journal writing, I did not know why I was going to Ethiopia other than I felt like it was obedience in some way. When we went to Ethiopia, we saw exactly what I expected. African people. Poor people. I saw the ministry that Adams Thermal is doing and all the people that they're impacting, and it was a blessing in so many ways, but it wasn't unusual to me. It's what I had expected. And then we went to this place called Otoro. And if you know something about Ethiopia and education, in Ethiopia, their educational system is different than what you have around here. And the families there are very poor. And they live in a rural setting, especially in there, in Otoro area. They farm, they've got livestock, and they live in mud huts with thatched roofs. And they are poorer than what we can understand what poor is. It's not that they even have money because they're just sustenance people. Like what they grow, they eat, and that's it. And in Ethiopia, to go to school requires some ability by your family, and you have to have some means to be able to do that. And these poor families cannot do this. And Adams Thermal has this vision that they want to impact the area of poverty and generational poverty in Ethiopia. And so they have opened up these schools in Ethiopia, and what they're doing is they're inviting the poorest of the poor. And so there in Otoro, there are kids, and this is a picture there in Otoro of Brian and I, and some beautiful children behind us. And what they do is they go to the poorest of the poor. They're taking boys and girls who have no mom and dad and no relatives and are living in an orphanage, and they invite them to be a part of the school. That's the least likely to ever go to school. Now, in Ethiopia, you can go from K all the way to 12th grade. And the amazing thing in Ethiopia is that if you finish the 12th grade, you get to go to the state-paid-for university and learn a technical trade or professional trade. You can work on cars or you can do surgery. And that is paid for, but you got to make it through those 12 grades first, those elementary, middle school, high school grades. And these kids never have that opportunity. And Adams Thermal said, these are the kids, the poorest of the poor, we want to be able to come. And then after they fill up with that, then they open up to the next one. And it's kids that have no mom and dad, but maybe they're living with a next of kin somehow. And then if they fill up with all of that, then they'll start to invite kids that maybe just have one parent. There's 600 children there in Otoro, and there's another 600 to 1,200 more that need to go there that there isn't room for. And we start to meet these kids and see the love of the Lord in their hearts and the joy on their faces. But they kept saying one thing over and over again, because that school in Otoro goes K, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and that was the end. There was no high school. And without a high school, they can't graduate. If they can't graduate that, they can't go to the university. So at eighth grade, they're just going to go back home. And they'll farm and they'll do whatever the family does. They can't escape the poverty. They can't interrupt that generational poverty that they have. And as I'm listening to this, all of a sudden, it is a vision from the Lord for me that I start to realize that a high school needs to be built. And that just possibly, just maybe, Hillcrest could be a part of this high school building. And so as we're trying to find out information and trying to listen, we're walking along and Brian walks right up next to me and he says, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" We didn't even have to talk about it. God was speaking to Brian and he was speaking to me. He was giving us a vision in that moment. I said, "Yeah, he is." And we started to ask some questions. What is needed here in Otoro? And the answer was a 6-room school building for a high school. Needed to be 6 rooms, which is a really big building. And that made me a little nervous. So what does a building like that cost in Otoro? Because this is the middle of nowhere, and building things even in here is tough. How much harder there? It is a whopping $25,000 to build a 6-room building. And I said, praise the Lord, we can do that. And we came back here and we shared the vision. And the vision was not only just to raise $25,000 to build a high school, but to do it through a matching sponsorship. So that every single child that you might match or sponsor at Adams Thermal for $34 a month, man, that child is getting food and getting water and getting health and getting education for that child. And if you committed to that, we would take a year of that sponsorship and match it. So $34 a month times 12 is $408. So every child sponsored, we would throw $408 towards the building. So by you sponsoring a child, you're going to build a high school, but the dollars you're giving are going directly to that child and that family for their own health and their own development. And we put the challenge out there, and we had 40 kids, and I've told you this story so many times that Pastor Brian and I thought, 10, 12, I don't know, something like that. And not only all 40 were gone, but as of right now today, 104 kids sponsored. Praise the Lord. So the cost of the building was $25,000. If you do the math, 104 students at $408 per sponsorship, well, that's a lot. And since then, we've had even more come in. And right now, today, we're going to be, in just a couple moments, presenting a check that has the wrong amount on it because money just keeps coming in. The check is for, I don't know, 42,000. It's almost 48,000 we're going to be giving to Adams Thermal. And when they told the kids and the people there in Otoro that their prayers were being answered for the building of a high school, well, let me show you what happened. And it's not so much their praise that you hear at the beginning, but it's their prayer. Listen to their prayer that is related directly to you and the vision that God has given us so many miles away.